created to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Ron's goal is to equip all listeners with the resources to always move forward in their journey. Welcome to today's episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Winchester, and we're ready to dive in on our third episode of the Catalyst University Takeover interviews that Ron had a chance to do following Catalyst University this year. And this week, it's going to be a lot of fun because Ron had an opportunity to interview Bob Bodine, who is a good friend of Ron's and an amazing speaker, an amazing person, an amazing leader. And they had a really fun time chatting it up. What was your favorite part of getting that chance to talk with Bob?
I'm lucky that I get to hang out with Bob some, and he's an amazing guy. So 51 of the 100 top athletic directors at colleges in America, Bob placed in their jobs. He's this dynamic headhunter, incredible businessman, owns multiple companies, has just finished his term on the board of directors of the Texas Rangers. And Bob just shares gold nugget after gold nugget in this interview about how we can build authenticity into our own lives. And Bob is one of the most authentic people I've ever heard and known. And if you listen to this podcast and you think Ron talks too much, you will not think this on this interview, because I had trouble getting a word in. Bob is so amazing. Let's listen to Bob. Hey, I'm so excited. I'm backstage at Catalyst University with Bob Bodine. Hey, Bob, thanks for being here.
Hey, great being here.
I am so pumped you're here at Catalyst University and to share with us. You know, I know you've been on previous podcasts with us and our team has read your book, but I think people don't really realize they know you either as a writer or they know you from the world of athletics. But who are you?
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I'm a dad. I'm a grandpa now.
Uh-huh.
So I was created for grandpa.
Yeah, I don't know if you didn't know this.
I had no idea. And I have two grandsons after having three daughters. And so my girls are like 32, 31, and 27. So I'm papa to two grandsons, Maverick and Major. And so
those are
names. And so it's fantastic. And then I got Emma. And so I don't know. They have me tied around a string. So it's just simple. So that, you know, I'd say first and foremost, I'm a family person. That's what I love to do. I love to do things with my family and friends.
So tell us about your current season of leadership.
My leadership style right now is, first is I like to advise. I'm mentoring. I'm spending time with top executives across the country, athletic directors in sports and coaches, et cetera, and CEOs, where you get a chance to really actually help them in their life, because life becomes so busy for people. And so having now been in search, this is my 38th year in executive recruiting. Is that amazing? Wow. So in all of that time, what I find is that people have lots of seasons of trouble and they need encouragement. And so I would say probably the biggest thing I try to do is love on people.
Well, that's a great job to do every day.
Oh, no, I don't think I could have anything that I was more created for. I'm kind of disguised as an executive recruiter.
That's awesome. So as an executive recruiter, let's put you in your athletics world. The athletic directors with presidents of professional teams, they're in crisis mode. They've either just fired somebody or somebody has just left them at the altar. And they're in crisis mode. How do you protect your soul, your energy, while they're in crisis mode and lift them up? How do you make it better?
So it's so fantastic. So they will come into my office and they will sit down and I say, hey, how's it going? And they're in a disaster position. One, because they totally believe that they've been their business card, whatever that is. That's who they are. They're wholly invested in the fact that since they're out, they're no longer like in the shining light or doing what that's called. I immediately, first thing when I hear about what they do, I tell them congratulations. And they look at me like, what? And I say, what are you talking about? This is the greatest day of your life. I said, you didn't like where you were. You were never celebrated. You were tolerated. And so today you get to choose what you want. See, this is the opportunity of moving someone just from being just in a job to all of a sudden actually a destiny, that there's something that you were created for that you do better than anybody else in the world. Each of us do it. And when you're not doing that, which you have what? Doing something you love with people you love in a place you love where your family loves you, you do it for the right reasons. What you're doing is you're just actually never going to be able to sustain the joy, right? And you can't do it. And so they don't actually drag for me. This is what I was called to do, was to spend moments with them and to take them where they are in their trouble, where they are, and show them actually the light that actually in this time. And so that's why I really wrote The Power of Who and really the new book, Two Chairs.
So let me question that we didn't talk about earlier, but so this is a podcast for leaders. And, you know, a lot of leaders that we work with, a lot of people we talk to are feeling content, but stuck in their leadership. And so a lot of times you're working with coaches who are winning and are in a great place. And you know, we have a mutual friend, Reed Ryan, who's president of the Astros, who introduced me originally to your writing and then introduced us as colleagues. And I think one of the things I've seen you do is help people grow beyond their current place, even when they're happy. Talk me through that. How do you talk to a leader who's happy but needs to go to the next level?
You know, one of the hard parts is we're not one-dimensional. We're who-dimensional. You and I were created to love on other people and to all of a sudden see things that other people can't see. And one of the things is we're not just staying where we are. If you don't have a plan for your life, someone has one for you. And so I don't know. What I try to do is say, hey, so we finally got to this point where we're this, but now that's it? No. I'm going to get better on looking out at all my staff, seeing who the leaders are. Who could I encourage? How could I help them? This is where the joy comes. It's in other people, right? It's not in just sitting right where you are in your spot. Because what I find, if position, power, and money equated to all of a sudden peace, happiness, and contentment, that would mean that financial security would equal peace of mind. Of course, that would mean the richest people are the most peaceful. And are they? No. And if happiness equals things, then why? As soon as I have one nice thing, what do I want?
The next one.
Exactly. And
in a different color.
Exactly. And in what we are as human beings, we're never actually content. Why? Because you and I were created to do crazy, impossible things. Things that are so far over the top. So just when you all of a sudden see your job as this, what if I told you that there was so many other areas that you could acquire? There were so many other areas that you do. So the aspect is, if I'm a character actor, I like playing different characters. And that's the thing that's making you grow. Well, in the same way, I look at other people and where they are. And my job is to figure out what it is that they do best. And then I start to shine on it. I try to explain to CEOs all over the country, there is no such thing as constructive criticism. Because as soon as you've given them seven really positives, what are they looking for? A hammer.
Yep.
And so you can't have authority over someone you don't love. And so the hard part is they grew up in this process of constantly involved in sometimes the wrong mentors. They got a job. They wanted it. They pay a lot of money. They're doing the job, supposedly happy, but they left their family on the side. They no longer actually have any relationship. They don't really see actually their relationship with God. They don't see this. And what happens is they're ready for all of a sudden, bam, Mike Tyson.
Absolutely. So all right, let's do rapid fire. So this is a section where we just get to know you. One or two word answers.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. And I stole this from David Faraday, another Dallas resident, like you.
I know him. He's funnier. He's the most funny. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever been on.
I stole all this from him. So
yeah, that's good.
It's good. So favorite color?
Blue.
Is that SMU blue?
Yeah.
Favorite car?
My favorite car would probably be my truck, my black Ford
F-150.
I do. I have it at King Ranch. It's the greatest car.
I like that.
So I've had every one. This one's got massage seats. This is good. I can turn on country music. I can listen. I like a lot of things, but that's really good.
As a South Texan, I appreciate you buying from the King Ranch. So first car.
My very first car was really a Dodge Dart.
All right. Well, that was back when they were fast and cool.
They were fast and cool then, but then it turned out to be not so cool after a while.
Favorite book?
My favorite book, probably the Bible.
Yeah, fair enough. What's your family's favorite meal?
So probably what we would do is sitting around together. That's a really good question. Our girls are so diverse. On some side, I have people over here, the other. But I make ribs as good as anybody in the world, in my opinion. I like to do the cook-off. So I do ribs with a baby back rib with soy sauce and honey and lemon. And then I get them, I boil them first. I make them so they're real soft. And then I put them in and I put them in the refrigerator. They get all of a sudden like that dry aging a little bit. Then I immediately fire them babies up. And then we have like a really Coleman's hot mustard. Have you ever done the Coleman's? Yeah. And then you put it in a little hot and then you put it on top. And so now we get some zing. It's nice. Really, really good. They crisp up beautiful outside on the fire pit.
Man, I'm hungry.
I'm ready already. I want some of those right now.
What's your superpower?
So encouragement.
Yep, I absolutely. What's your theme song? What song gives you energy?
So I do a lot of songs. If I'm going on stage, I like the Who. I like the Who Are You? Who? Yeah. Okay, just mainly in that. So that would go. But I really like, I like songs, you know, that there's a song that just was done in cartoon the other day. Don't You Worry About a Thing.
Yeah.
I really dig this song. So that people today are bothered by a lot of stuff. And the answer is, you know, the joy is what changes you on your face. I got to see that joy.
Shut up the news and find your joy.
Yeah.
Hey, cheeseburger or pizza?
I'm a cheeseburger.
Me too. Text or call?
I'm a text person first on the other, but I love to personally talk to you. So I'm going to say call because I got to talk to you. And I'm not really text call. I got to meet with you.
Yeah. If you text me, I'm going to call you.
I know. As soon as you send a text, I do it because I'm going to do, I love doing that. It's so much fun. And I'm going to show tomorrow even the power of a text, but I'm going to start with a text and then bam, everyone's going to start getting calls because that's what happens. And it's all about the personal, right? So we have to move into that deep.
Yep. What movie can you watch over and over?
There's a bunch. So I really love The Legend of Bagger Vance.
That is a great movie.
I can watch it over and over. But I would say, hey, I like Miracle on Ice. I mean, that totally, you know, a miracle when they're all of a sudden.
We had Jim Craig here 2 years ago.
Did you?
Yeah. Jim's a great guy.
He's a personal friend of mine. He's never met me. And I just watch him on the show and I like him already.
Jim's a great guy. He's actually here in Kalamazoo a lot. He works as a coach to one of the executives in town. So we get to see him a lot.
Nice.
He's a great guy. Favorite band when you were in high school?
So crazy, probably in high school. Wow, that goes back.
Faye's over here mouthing Glenn Miller. He's not that old. Come on.
Did she just do that to me?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Who is the group that sang One? One is the loneliest girl. What is that?
Is that Mamas and Papas?
But I did like Mamas and Papas. The answer is, but I think back in the day, probably then I turned like, just as I was going into college, I turned into all of a sudden like heavily into like Al Green and all the Barry Whites and all of those. And so I like.
You're a player.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I can dance. Yeah. Three Dog Night.
Oh, you're right.
That's my high school. Yeah. They played at my high school.
Is that right?
Nutcher High School in Chicago as I grew up.
You grew up in Chicago. I thought you were a native Dallas.
No, I started early in L.A. and then moved and did all of Chicago. And so I was driving up here. I said, I was looking at it. It was gray outside. There's slush on the side of the ground. There's this. And I go, well, I'm back at home.
Feels like home. All right. So hard question. Which actor will play you in the movie?
Wow. Will play me in this next movie? Wow.
Because I'm casting in your life. There's going to be a movie. Who's going to play you?
You know? I mean, Tom Hanks could pretty much play everybody at the moment.
You kind of got that, Tom Hanks.
And so it's really funny is, and I'm hoping you were going to say Matt Damon.
I would have a young Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
I could see a 45-year-old Gene Hackman. All right. So what mistakes do leaders make most often and how should they avoid it?
Well, everybody makes it is they think about the what and not the people, the who. Right. So their first thing is that they get right into business. The very first time they start, they don't say, hello, how are you? Hey, man, I got to tell you, you did something fantastic. I'm really proud of you. And gee, you know, and then they forget their name and they don't get to know their wife. They don't get to know the custodian all the way up to the chief financial officer the other way, all the way through. That would be the biggest mistake. They don't get out of their office and walk around managing, going to cubicle, just saying, hey, so how are we doing?
Yeah.
What good ideas you got? That doesn't matter who you are in any business, from manufacturing to all of a sudden you're running the Texas Rangers. That's why I love like Jeff Bannister and Ray Davis who own the Rangers. They're just people.
Yep, that is awesome. All right, here's a question that I love asking leaders. If you had $5,000 per year to spend on developing your own leadership, how would you spend it?
Reading. Readers are leaders. You just keep reading. So I read 52 books a year. And the answer is that It's really important constantly that you do it. But if I'm not reading, I'm going to come to a conference like this. Why? Because first off, I used to think people who wrote books were trying to schmooze me into reading their books so they could, you know, and they'd get rich. Then I read all their books and they were already rich. In some way, it was fantastic. And they're sharing their one thought.
Well, and now having written a lot of books, you understand there is totally. No money.
There's no money.
Books.
You don't make one dime in any of this, no matter what it. And then you're traveling the country, what? Trying to help people. And so sitting at a conference is so fantastic because you get multiple people. And so people who are coming to a conference, if you're coming to this conference, you're listening to this right now, and you're coming to this conference, you've got to be thinking about every single person. What's that one thing that they're saying that totally changes my life? And then who's around me, right? Who's here? There's some other people here that I'm going to meet. Great people surround themselves with great people. And all the people who are learners are all here wanting something. And so I'm not sure that, you know, hey, I sat in conferences forever and, you know, then all of a sudden you're speaking.
Yep. You know, and that's for us. Catalyst University is like Miracle-Gro. There's all kinds of food in Miracle-Gro for plants that feed all kinds of different plants. And you put that on there as a gardener, you don't know what that plant needs. And you're putting things on that that plant may not need for months. And when it needs it, it's going to call up. And that's what being in the room, meeting people, hearing these things, storing this away. It's Miracle-Gro for your leadership.
Only the inspired in life inspire. And so how do you fill yourself up? What are you doing to do that? And every single person that's probably going to be speaking has written something, right? And they have favorite writers and they do things that they're always doing. And so I'm always into something. I mean, when I was young, I would listen to I would read Robert Ludlum books. Yep. and just figure out all the various, aspects. And so I never really thought I was ever going to write a book. My dad on his deathbed tells me in 2000. So this is what, coming into the 18th year, tells me I'm going to write 5 books. And I laughed out loud. I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. I can't write a memo. And then it took me 5 years, and I would hear every year someone would come out of nowhere and say, so are you writing that book? And so initially I was writing a book about suits that you wear for the seasons of your life. That's what I was initially writing. And that you don't get to wear that suit very often, right? And that's what some coaches don't understand. I mean, really, to a degree, and anybody in jobs is that, hey, you don't get to stay there that long. I mean, the average time of someone. So while you're there, who could we change? Who could we motivate? Who could we lift up? I believe that in our time that we can say one thing, right? And we can change the entire trajectory of your life. It's one thought, one idea, and one friend. These are the things that change people. And of course, no one has any friends. They have acquaintances.
Yep.
They're friendly.
Yep.
And so that's what I'm just on. Like, I'm
have
just
you not seen my Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
I have like 8,000 friends.
I got
friends.
Them. I see them all. And they're like, they check in and they're doing. But the answer is that they're going there because what you do so well is they're going there to find some piece of information, some tool that's actually going to get them closer to that, right? That's what they're doing. And it's awesome.
Bob, I can't tell you how glad we are and excited you're at Catalyst University with 3,000 leaders. And I know because you've changed my life and how I've seen you change the lives of my other friends, you're going to change the lives of those 3,000 leaders in here. And thank you for being here.
Can't wait to be here. It's going to be epic.
Epic.
Every single person that you have chosen, you've chosen intentionally for a specific thought that you are planting in someone that's going to make 2018 a breakthrough year.
That's it. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. And if you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you and grow our impact. Make sure to tune in every Monday for a new episode of the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.